It's 6 o'clock in the islands. Welcome to Bridging the Gap. My name is Mr. Neck. Tonight we have a very special guest in the studio, culture critic David Goldberg. He'll be with us in just a second, but for now, sit back, relax, have a sip of that drink, and we'll be right back after NPR News. The set list can be found up on my website at djmrnick.com or at hawaiipublicradio.org. It's 6:06 in the islands on HPR2, member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. We're Bridging the Gap with Nicholas Yee. All right. Welcome to Bridging the Gap. My name is Mr. Nick. Let me introduce David Goldberg.
Good evening, everyone.
How you doing?
I'm doing really, really well.
Well, let us get a, real fast before we even get rolling, tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a cultural critic, I guess, if you have to give me the official title. Right now, working my way through the program in American Studies, PhD, at University of Hawaii at Manoa. Longtime Hawaii resident, raising my kid here, and I'm honored to be with you this evening.
Who's on the last pledge drive?
Yeah, my son.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've heard his voice on the drops here and there, talking about how much he enjoys Says You and related shows.
So, you're going to be essentially picking the music tonight. So if you're familiar with the show, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be different. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, Mr. Nick has blessed me with the opportunity to pick some tracks for you guys that are relevant from a perspective of thinking about music in this big complicated thing called America, however you want to cut and slice that. The track we opened with is a shout out to my father, who is playing drums on that track. That's him playing with Ray Charles at the Newport Jazz Festival in 73. That was in a little Spanish town with their fake Pres Prado thing going on there.
And coming up behind us is
a little Herbie Hancock.
Gotcha.
Uh-oh, here he comes.
So why do you like this one?
Oh, because it was all inspired by the Fat Albert cartoon, a whole thematic record with jazz by that legend, Herbie Hancock, before he did Rocket, before he transformed electronic jazz. He did this amazing piece of work in response to the cartoon that a lot of my generation grew up with.
Nice. Awesome. All right, so here we go. Herbie Hancock, oh, here he comes, or the rest of it.
Since I found my baby,
All right. Who was that?
That was the Metros, and that I have to shout out the Symbiotic Group, which is a multidisciplinary collective of crate diggers and problem solvers and creative thinkers coming out of Los Angeles and spread it everywhere. So they actually turned that track up for me. And if you listen to the rest of that compilation, which is called Soul Review Volume 1, the contrast between that song and all the other music that was going on at the time, this is, early 60s, that track is a really big chunk of hip-hop's DNA. So if you listen to later people like the RZA and Pete Rock, that whole rhythm section that you hear in that song becomes the bedrock of a lot of amazing 90s hip-hop music.
As a sample source or
I think as a tone, okay. You know what I mean? So it's not so much that I've heard the Metro sampled, but the sort of intensified blues beat and the way that they mic the instruments is a predecessor to what a lot of producers would pick up on in hip-hop 30 years later.
Cool. Before that, Herbie Hancock?
Yep, that was Herbie Hancock off of the Fat Albert Rotunda record. And let me look up the year on that. That was 1969. So I'm going to try and start us out, around the time I was born. I was born in 1970. And this is the kind of music that I would...
Just give it away.
I'm trying to be honest about this, and because people got to know. You got to know where people start their journeys from, So a lot of these records I ended up digging up in my parents' own collection. So this marks the music that I was sort of in the womb to and they were grooving out to before I came. And then I, like I said, through hip-hop, ended up rediscovering a lot of this music by digging through my folks' crates.
Nice. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to culture critic David Goldberg. My name is Mr. Nick, and we are Bridging the Gap here on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. And support for Bridging the Gap comes from Hawaii Pacific University, celebrating 50 years of educating students from Hawaii, the mainland, and around the world, offering 50 undergraduate and 14 graduate degrees, hpu.edu. And from T-Rex Entertainment, presenting the Hawaii Polo 2016 season with matches and music every Sunday on the beach on the North Shore, including Jeff Peterson on July 24th. Details at HawaiiPolo.com. All right, what are we listening to next?
Well, we're going to thicken it up a little bit and listen to a little Funkadelic. Shouts out to Noe Tanegawa for that one.
Hey.
Gotta give the props to that. But this is Cosmic Slot by Funkadelic, and it's one of those first songs that mix politics and deep cultural knowledge with a groove that you can't resist.
To hide the fact from us that life was really tough. I can hear my mother call. I can hear my mother call. Late at night I hear a call. On the Lord I hear a call. She said, Father, Father, it's for the kids. Any and everything I did. Please, please don't judge me too strong.
Pilot.
Sorry about that. Stepping on you there.
No, well, Parliament.
Yep, Funkadelic, 1973, that's Cosmic Slop. And in light of what's going on politically in our country, if you still have any questions as to why people are upset, all you gotta do is listen to those lyrics and think about cultural conditions the folks have been put through. And then it's a hop and a skip to homelands and reservations and people, you know, coming over on boats under the worst conditions. We're really, that's why I think Clinton and those guys called it Cosmic Slop, because the issues that they're talking about, the decisions that we have to make under duress, are cosmic in scope. We're about to hop across the pond now to one of George Clinton's, you know, unofficial progeny, a guy by the name of Tricky, coming out of Knowle West in Britain, which is Brexited recently. I don't know if that's going to affect the music scene.
I wonder. Wait. So Tricky was a prodigy of George Clinton?
Only sonically, and I think spiritually. So when you listen to this next cut, Aftermath, and think about the richness of the arrangement that you heard in Cosmic Slop, and imagine trying to create that same feel, that same weight, but with no instruments and just samplers instead, you get someone like Tricky that is interested in really building these atmospheres and putting those stories into the music.
So that's who we're listening to right now.
Yeah, here comes Aftermath by Tricky off of Max and Quay.
Max and Quay, that's Max how you Quay. Say that?
Yeah.
I always wondered. This is one of the first downtempo albums I ever owned.
This is an important record.
It's
Yeah, this
it's
is a
heavy,
really,
yeah.
really, really important record. 1995. Here we go.
trying for the type of clarity that's found in any great works of art, from the Iliad and the Odyssey on to anything else. You know, it's something that can't be limited to any race or anything that is so often used to limit our perceptions of ourselves. A lot of my music, I just hear it, you know. I try to learn as much music as I can learn to inform myself. But at this particular stage, I'm trying mainly to just hear a good, clean, consistent development of whatever theme I start off with. Start off with a very small theme, a short theme, something that I can develop. I don't like long themes. And then also when I'm writing music, I'm always thinking of the fact that someone has to solo on top of it. So one of the major challenges of jazz composition first is to give the drums and the bass something to do that's interesting. Fact that the rhythm section also has to interact with someone who is going to solo on the form that you are creating. So to me, I think it's good to get a good groove for the bass and the drums, which will give them themes to develop, a good interaction between the rhythm section and the horn players or the piano, whoever is soloing, which will give the soloist a good theme to play and develop, as well as some way for the soloist and the rhythm section to then interact further as they develop the solo. Entitled The Majesty of the Blues, and it's a tune that's reminiscent of the song that this little man used to play a long time ago for some people in a land far away. And the song was the subject of a great debate. Nobody knew what it was. They said, well, is it Chinese music? They listened to the cymbals and said it was Chinese. They listened to the drums and said it was African. They listened to the groove and said it was Latin American. They listened to the bass and said it was American. They listened to the saxophone and say it was Arabian or Indian. They listened to the piano and they thought it was European. One day they asked him what it was and he said, it's just the blues.
That was Wynton Marsalis.
That's right. It's just the blues. That is DJ Premier instrumental, Hands Up. And under ideal circumstances, I would have actually taken the vinyl of Wynton. I probably would have been actually scratching it and bringing his vocals in live. But I figured I wanted to get some of that taste of what happens when you take two different sound sources and make something new out of it, you know. So that little monologue by Marsalis is from an introduction to the 12-inch single for The Majesty of the Blues. And in that little piece, he talks about what he's been striving for in terms of jazz composition, and also the philosophy that says that what he as a musician and his band are after is the same thing that any other artist is after. And he uses words like clarity and focus. And for me, that elevates what the listener should bring to even hip hop, right? And that's why I put him on top of DJ Premier, because if you listen really closely, there's a lot of clarity. And everything that Wynton is talking about in terms of his standards, Premier is expressing in that beat. And when you think about Marsalis's traditional stance against rap in particular. He tends to put the performance side of rap in terms of the behavior, the misogyny, the lyrics, the capitalism of it, and conflate that behavior with the actual power of the music, which I think has a lot more to do with where he's coming from than he might care to admit. But this is also back in the days. I don't know what Marsalis thinks about hip hop these days. Probably not much better.
So you're saying he's wrong, or in that statement? And what he said about that?
Well, I mean, if we think about it historically, when he was the most vocal critic of rap, it was in the 90s. So we're talking about the rise of gangster rap. Right. We're talking mm-hmm. about, you know, NWA talking about F the Police. We're talking about, you know, Ice-T talking about Cop Killer. We're talking about the FBI sending letters to Warner Brothers Records. I mean, you know, it was a weird sort of pre-echo of what we're dealing with right now, except it was all on record and not real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Marsalis is critiquing that behavior and the music promoting a certain mentality in its audience. And for him, coming from a musical family that was deeply steeped in jazz, he figured that the discipline of making music was far superior to scratching records and cursing over the beat.
But then, we're talking off air that you had put it on over DJ Premier, kind of on. Was it on purpose? Or
oh, absolutely.
And why DJ Premier?
Oh, I mean, because Premier is for me the Ellington of hip-hop in terms of his ability to sample music and make new things out of very small elements. So if any of your listeners out there are familiar with any kind of minimalism, people like Steve Reich, any of the avant-garde composers that deal with small bits of repetition, John Cage, people like that. I mean, Premier is working in the same space. It's just that the way our racial dynamics and the marketing is set up, it's hard to hear what he's doing because of the way the music is sort of racialized in the United States.
And DJ Premier being the producing half of
Gangstar, yeah. and a very strong proponent for authentic expression in hip hop, even if it's antagonistic, the authenticity is more important than the play acting, let's say. Shout out to Sarah Honda if you're listening.
Got it. If you're just tuning in, we are talking to culture critic David Goldberg, who's live here in the station. So thank you again for stopping in.
Man,
this is
so good.
Fascinating, fascinating. He's helping pick out the music here. Anyway, let's go back to the music. What do we have next?
So we're going to follow with that theme of the back and forth of music in the United States. And the first track we're going to play is by an electronic music pioneer by the name of Raymond Scott. And he's a really interesting cat from New York who did a lot of commercials in the 50s. So a lot of the futuristic sounds that we now associate with that vintage past, he invented those with making his own instruments, designing his own circuits. So we're going to hear Lightworks by him, which was an ad for makeup, and then a Detroit producer named
this
Jay
is a makeup
Dilla.
Ad where you're...
Yeah, we're going to hear a makeup ad.
Okay.
That's right.
But it's a song. All right. And just if you're curious, the set list can be found up on my website at djmrnick.com or at hawaiipublicradio.org by clicking on the music tab, dropping down to HPR2, and then finding Bridging the Gap. Here we go.
What is the magic that makes one's eyes sparkle and gleam? What is the magic that makes one's eyes sparkle and gleam, light up the skies? The name of the game is Lightworks. What do you call a pair of eyes that sparkle and gleam, light up the skies? The name of the game is Lightworks. How do you show those teasing lips so they dazzle and shine? His heart does flips. The name of the game is Lightworks. How do you blush so shyly and make it linger yet boldly polish your ring finger? The name of the game is Lightworks. Thank you.
light works is the game girls play when they want someone to say the name of the game is you, baby.
This is Bendix, the Tomorrow People.
What is the magic that makes one's eyes sparkle and gleam, light up the skies? The name of the game is Lightworks.
Mission Control, Mission Control.
So what did we just hear?
So that was back-to-back Raymond Scott's Lightworks, you know, which was originally done as a piece of commercial electronic music, right? So in the 50s, you would have heard this to promote, in this case, makeup, right? And the second cut was, you could basically call it a remix. So J Dilla is a very well-respected Detroit producer who we lost a few years ago. And he...
A few years? He's been gone for a while, right? Like 10 years?
That's all timeless.
Okay.
Right, you know, it wasn't yesterday, and it's not quite ancient history. But J Dilla was totally respected all over the world, a very humble producer who made a lot of tracks that you'd be surprised that he actually made them. But I selected that Lightworks piece for a couple of the reasons. Like, one, because it shows there's a very deep ongoing connection between all these different forms of music that are produced in the United States. Like, I play these back-to-back in my hip-hop class, and students are always amazed on the first level because the songs are so similar, but also so different. So if you were listening closely, J Dilla played a lot more with vocals and the spatialization in the track. He compressed things, he echoed things. But it's also, I think, an homage and an ode to Raymond Scott, because one of the traditions of hip-hop when you're making beats is you're digging through old records looking for bits and pieces of compelling sonic information that you can repurpose for the present. So at some point in his archival research, he comes across Raymond Scott. For me, these are really powerful moments because they show that despite the sort of surface level cultural segregation we're all sold on, or at least how that's promoted in our culture, hip hop is one of these forms that continues digging underneath the sort of skin and roots of America and brings up new material. And then if you are part of that discipline, you end up learning about Raymond Scott, you end up learning about the history of electronic music, and suddenly you're much more deeply immersed in American musical history and not this sort of corporate marketing strategy.
So I gotta ask, within J. Dilla's life, did he take any heat for doing that?
For sampling Raymond Scott?
Well, no, just... So, J. Dilla was one of the first people I ever heard him use, like, a lot of bossa within his stuff, like, mm-hmm. a lot of clave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't know that much about him, all you know, about his life. But was he, I mean, did people go after him for that? Like, no, don't, why are you sampling all sorts of
no,
weird, like,
I
70s
mean,
commercials?
So, right? Again, it's, so, compressed history lesson, right? When Detroit sort of took on the historical mantle of preserving hip-hop that was not commercial.
Okay.
So we're talking in the era when people like Puff Daddy were making these really glitzy videos, and it was very much about conspicuous consumption,
uh-huh.
you know, which has its own merits and its own
okay,
value,
yeah.
right? And
in historical context,
income,
yeah. Right,
right
yeah,
in
yeah.
context, people all over the rest of the country were preserving earlier instantiations or versions of the culture that were still worth tapping into, right? So Dilla ignored all of that jiggy business, all of that, you know, high gloss stuff, and went back to sampling beats and looking for obscure sounds that he could put into new context. So he took no heat because he was following the tradition.
Got it. So what are we listening to now?
So in the background is Kraftwerk. And I could tell lots of stories about Kraftwerk, but the most important one is the amazing back-and-forth relationship between Black American music, Detroit, and Kraftwerk. The short version is that these German guys, really interested in electronic music, were trying to recreate the momentum and the vibe of James Brown through electronics. And they ended up creating their own style
of
funk.
I'm going to turn this a little louder so you guys can hear.
Yeah, you should check this out.
All right. You're about James
I
Brown.
I keep going. Yeah, so they're trying to recreate the feel of James Brown in their own way. And in the late 70s and early 80s, some of their records made it into the record crates of early hip-hop DJs who began playing Kraftwerk records to mostly Black and Latino audiences who loved these records.
So
right?
Full circle.
Right. They became yeah. huge in Detroit. There was a show called The Electrifying Mojo that a lot of early techno producers like Stacey Poland, Derek May were listening to. They played Kraftwerk, exposing a whole new demographic to this music. Kraftwerk comes to play in Detroit and is totally shocked to see an African-American audience. Right? And according to the legends, a fight breaks out at this Detroit club where they're playing. And they are just amazed and honored and blown away. They had no idea that young, middle and lower middle class Black kids were listening to their music in the United States.
Wow. All right, well, let's close this song out. You're listening to Culture Critic, David Goldberg.
Computer world, I no longer Mamas to cool prima donnas. I want to share more treasure, oh so rare. Oh, it's your face I see on my computer screen.
Okay, who's this?
So is this the first time Roger Troutman's been played on your show? Probably
yes.
On HPR ever. I would actually wager.
I would wager that the majority of this stuff is getting its debut
HPR. An 80s vocoder track, R&B, I think it's got to be the first one. So I'm proud to have blazed that trail. Hopefully you in the listening audience noticed the use of the synthetic or synthesized or synthesizeroided vocals that Kraftwerk pioneered pretty early on, but a lot of black R&B artists picked up on. So Roger was the first guy to mask his voice with the vocoder and sing in a very traditional like rhythm and blues. But if you listen closely, this is the era of the early synthetic drums. So you're not hearing acoustic drums, you're hearing the sort of drum pads, but you're hearing really rich arrangements that anybody that is a good student of R&B will recognize. It's an extension of the tradition. And if you want to get really detailed, the masking of the vocals can go all the way back to Nigeria and certain ventriloquist practices that go on there, where these guys speak through these crazy little whistles and change their voices. So, you know, the connections are rich, deep, and broad. But I also want to really point out that in the 80s, when Roger wrote this song, we weren't digital. So this is actually a really amazing bit of science fiction. Like, he's singing about, you know, my computer love, and is that your face I see on my computer screen? Like, before the internet, you know, maybe he had a Commodore 64?
Before Facebook stalking?
Before Facebook
stalking.
Before
Tinder? Stalking,
yeah. Right, before Tinder, right. I mean, he's anticipating, you know, picking out your one true love through the computer.
You're listening. We're joined in the station by culture critic David Goldberg. What else do you do? You write?
What else do I do? Yeah, some of you may know me from the art reviews that show up periodically on Sunday. Some of you might hate me for it. Some of you might love me for it. shout out to all of my students that I've taught over the years, Digital America, hip-hop and American culture in American Studies. Shout out to the American Studies department.
That's my department.
I love living in Hawaii. I just want to give a really huge shout out to the entire archipelago, all of you from top to bottom, inside to out.
So, you know, if you're tuning in, you're just going, man, this is a different version of Bridging the Gap.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the gap. We're working from different parts of the gap, trying to bridge it for both of you guys, you know.
So the set list can be found at HawaiiPublicRadio.org by going to the music tab, going down, and finding Bridging the Gap. How can we learn more about you? Plug away, man. Google David Goldberg.
David A.M. Goldberg. I can't believe I just blew my own spot up, you know, putting my name in the Google machine. But, you know, I feel lucky that a lot of the people that are listening right now probably already know who I am, how I got here. And if you don't know me, I'm just riding on the coattails of my lovely wife.
Okay. And this is Invisible Scratch Pickles.
Yeah, so everything you're about to hear is made with vinyl records. So the three artists are scratching the vinyl and literally doing the percussion sections, the rhythm sections, the sort of quasi-melodic stuff. This is all being built more or less live on turntable. So no drum machines, no samplers, no keyboards. This is all scratching.
Just live sampling.
Yeah, it's
basically a
band. Yeah, live sampling.
Three DJs, six turntables.
Yep.
Three mixers.
Relentless hours of practice.
And these guys became, one of the American Studies professors was really going in about how these guys became real icons for the Filipino American.
Yeah, that was shout outs to Dr. Theo Gonzalez.
Yes,
that
Theo, was the one. Yeah, that'd be the one.
Yeah, he actually gave me my first interview with Q-Bert, who's sort of the lead DJ for this crew. But yeah, they're full on. Again, it's another story of groups of people preserving hip hop disciplines while capitalism was having its way with rap itself.
I'm going to take this down for just a second before I forget. Support for Bridging the Gap comes from Blue Zones Project Hawaii, a community-led well-being initiative working to improve the health of Hawaii's residents. Nominations for communities to participate are at beabluezones.com. Brought to Hawaii by HMSA, and from BAMP Project, presenting Brazilian musician Sergio Mendes at the Blaisdell Concert Hall Tuesday, September 13th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Going to close out here with some Deltron.
Yep, Deltron 3030. I couldn't decide if I wanted to open the show with this. But I figure we'll close this hour with this track because it's got a truly lovely Hawaiian slide guitar sample. You know, prize for anybody that can name the sample that it's from without using whosampled.com.
I'll send you something. Yeah, shoot me an email, djmrnick@gmail.com. I'll mail you something nice. Here we go. Tune to KIPO Honolulu, KIPM Waikapu, KHPH Kailua-Kona, KIPH Hana, KIPL Lihui, and KAHU Pahala. Streaming live on the web at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. We are member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. We'll be right back with David Goldberg after NPR News.
It's 7:06, and we're Bridging the Gap with Nicholas Yee on HPR2, member-supported Hawaii Public Radio.
Have is a memory. Oh, the season. glad you all made it to my show. Hope you enjoy it. By the way, Illmind Music is in the house. Give it up. It's on the board.
So I'm live here in the station with. Are we still using Culture Critic?
I don't know what I am at this point. I mean, it's hour two. Hopefully, I'm just your friend playing some interesting music. You know, trusted musical doctor. You know.
You're listening to the voice of David Goldberg, American Studies. What, master's, right?
No, PhD. You know, I'm trying to get in the game so I can start doctoring stuff. You know, that's the goal. You know, get that doctorate and
Dr. Goldberg.
Yeah, Dr. Goldberg, going for it.
Are people going to actually have to call you Dr. Goldberg?
No. Only you, if I come on the show after, then you can call me Dr. Goldberg.
I could get into that.
You know, I mean, you know, it'll sound good off the right ironic lips, I think. You know what I mean? You know,
I wanted to go to law school just so I could be called Dr. Nick.
Yeah, Dr. Nick. See? Yeah. But I mean,
like from The Simpsons.
But we're DJs,
like,
right? Yeah. So DJs, I mean, you know, like I started out as Mr. Bull Weevil, right? That was my DJ name, right? That was the, you know, the insect that destroyed the cotton industry.
Yeah.
And made life difficult both for white and black people in the South, right? But when I moved here and I stopped producing, I stopped DJing, and I started making beats again, I was like, well, okay, I'm just going to tap into my Caribbean, you know, connection. I started calling myself Count Weevil because, you know, we can call ourselves whatever we want as DJs, right? That's part of the magic.
I didn't have that option.
No?
Mr. Nick, I got stuck with it.
I mean, did you flirt with any other names? Like,
no. I was, by the time I was actually even remotely established, I was stuck with it. Because it was a nickname that a friend of mine, John, who's a bartender over at Downbeat
right.
Lounge, with the big ears.
Right.
Started calling me Mr. Nick because I called him Mr. John. And
well, I got to say, I've been listening to you since you are on KTUH, and the fact that you were going by DJ Mister and me being Mr. Bull Weevil, there was an instant connection. I was like, oh, this guy like threw Mr. in there. So respect, you know?
Thank you. No, I got stuck with it. It was a joke that I got stuck with. and it became a marketing thing.
Yeah, but now you're all
yep,
legit.
Yep, yep, yeah,
you're legit.
Anyway,
so
what are we listening to?
Right, exactly. So behind us right now is another selection courtesy of the Symbiotic Group. This is Yusef Lateef doing a track called Sister Mammy, which again, like I made some mentions earlier, is avant-garde music. And if you listen closely to this, you can hear a lot of these experiments in repetition and cyclical rhythmic structures that he puts that alto sax on top of that has a very Islamic vibe to it. So then you think about what Marcellus was saying in the last hour about how the blues in the beginning sounded like so many different things. Like, this is a case study in that. Before that, we were listening to an LA producer by the name of Madlib, and that track was Microphone Mathematics. And again, if you listen to the minute pieces of sound that he's pulling from different jazz records and really employing a minimalist approach over what's essentially a blues beat, you know?
Just so I can get it queued up, what are we playing next?
Oh, that's a really good question. We could go really weird. Oh, no, we're going to go mellow. I think we should listen to my dad again. I picked two cuts from the archive with my dad. So the next one is going to be Now's the Time. He's playing drums on Roy Ayers' track, Now's the Time. And his ex-wife, Vi Red, is on saxophone.
Wow.
That's a long story. Shouts out to Vi Red and my mom. Who's not my mom, by the way, just to be clear. Okay. Red is not my mom.
A dog will have his day, but when it comes to wailing, dogs ain't got a thing to say. So they can do the waiting, cause I ain't hesitating. The future's round the corner, so for now I'm gonna play. Now's the time to wail, not later, but right now's the time. Thank you.
Who is this?
This is Madlib again. This is off the Quasimodo record called The Unseen. It's Jazz Cats. Before that, you heard Drunk Trumpet by Kid Koala. Kid Koala is a really, really special dude from Canada. Nick was just telling me that he saw him live at Next Door on four turntables simultaneously, smiling the whole time, which gives you a sense that it's not all just guitar faces and serious looks. But Drunk Trumpet is really hilarious because he's using the turntable with no power, so he can really control the pitch of that trumpet sample And then you can hear him telling the little jokes of those samples about the whiskey and how the trumpeter's drunk. And he creates this really wonderful little reality with that cut that I love.
And so the platters aren't moving. I mean, they're moving. He's moving them.
He's moving them manually, but they're not powered in that moment. Yeah. And if you go back and you can listen again and you can hear him scratching the bass and scratching the kick and scratching the snare. So he's overdubbing that in the studio. But when he's doing that trumpet, quote unquote, solo, he's doing the record unpowered. And then the Mad Lib goes after that because that's like a little Wikipedia of jazz samples. Like you could play that for, a jazz head. And
we were just going, what was that?
Yeah,
what was
that? You'll hear the Coltrane reference. And, it's just a beautiful composition of references, which is educational. Because if you do go hunt down those records, you just might learn something.
If you're just tuning in, we are live here in the station with Culture Critic. That's a great title.
Culture Critic
David Goldberg, who has written an awful lot about hip-hop. You also teach it occasionally. Yep. at UH.
Yep.
In the American Studies department. I never got to take your class. I'm really bummed about that.
Well, this is what I do in that class, actually. We listen to a lot of music. We listen closely to a lot of music, and we put it in context.
This is why I like and miss college immensely. All right. Anyway, my name is Mr. Nick, and we are Bridging the Gap here on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. And support for Bridging the Gap comes from Ruby Tuesday Hawaii, committed to giving back to the community and proud to be a supporter of the school rewards program offering incentives and rewards for elementary students, RubyTuesdayHawaii.com, and from the Hawaii People's Fund, bridging community funds and community action through collective philanthropy. Learn about recent grantees and more at changenotcharity.org. Coming up next, who is this?
This is Wynton Marsalis, the legend of what? Oh, no.
No, this is the S-Born.
Yes, this is the...
Say it quickly.
I'm going to say this. This is the S-Born Svensson Trio, and this is from Gagarin's point of view, selected for reasons that you'll put together.
What is this? Scandinavian jazz.
Yeah, with electronics, very subtle electronics, very great use of nuance, but still honestly Nordic in a funny way.
And these guys are contemporary.
Yeah,
so they're
absolutely
still out there right now.
Yeah, so this is from 1999, but he's still making music. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, well, let's listen to them.
After he played in the army.
Right, right. You see, actually, I do not teach, you know, karate because I do not believe in styles anymore. I mean, I do not believe that there is such thing as, like, Chinese way of fighting or the Japanese way of fighting or whatever way of fighting, because unless human being have three arms and four legs, we will have a different form of fighting. But basically, we have only two hands and two feet. So styles tends to not only separate man, you know, because they have their own doctrines, and then the doctrine became the gospel truth, you know, that you cannot change, you know. But if you do not have styles, if you just say, well, here I am, you know, as a human being, how can I express myself totally and completely? Now, that way, you won't create a style. Because style is a crystallization, you know. I mean, that way, it's a process of continuing growth.
You talk about Chinese boxing. How does it differ from, say, art?
Bruce Lee?
Yeah, Bruce Lee, the master. In a little collage that DJ Queens, New York DJ by the name of... Rob Swift?
Yeah.
Are we good?
It's loud. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Rob Swift is another carrier of tradition who came up in response to the success that DJs like Hubert were having. Because for a long time, the West Coast held the DJ turntablism scene down. And as, you know, New York, when it gets its ego hurt, it puts its head down and, you know, practices and then comes back. And Rob, this is one of his earlier records off of an album called Soulful Fruit. And I just love that Bruce Lee sample because the philosophy is really deep in thinking about style and fixed ideology. And so we're hoping that at this point, if you've been with us this far, we're really hoping that you've attained a certain degree of mental and oral flexibility.
Or you're... really hating this show right now. One or the other.
Yeah, send mail either way.
Either way. And by the way, let us know how the feedback is greatly appreciated. If you're enjoying this show, much more educational and experimental than this normal show. Than this show usually is. By all means, drop me a line. My email is djmrnick, djmrnick. @gmail.com.
And he'll run interference for me. So if you do want to say anything to me, he'll let me know.
Yeah, good or bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are absolutely transparent with what we do here. So good or bad, djmrnick@gmail.com. Also, let us know how we're doing here at the station. Drop us a line at mail@hawaiipublicradio.org. The set list can be found on my website at djmrnick.com or at hawaiipublicradio.org. So we're joined in the studio with culture critic David Goldberg.
That's right.
Educating us and all of this.
I'm having fun. I mean, let's like try not to make it sound like too much of a browbeating and a lecture. I'm really hoping that folks are enjoying the music along with the context.
You
and
can
just
see how close everything is together. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot of music, but it's all, you know, like stand on the shoulders of giants.
That's the idea. I mean, and a friend of mine asked me, you know, what the theme was, and I told him that the theme is interconnection and inspiration. I mean, these are all tracks that are really personal to me. So they're not meant to take an ideological stance or anything like that. These are tracks that have educated me and that I've tried to, you know, share with other people to educate them. You know, that's kind of the point about this. You know, I'm not trying to change any taste or make any taste, but you know, take a couple hours to think about the connections between things because they're there.
And we hope you're enjoying it. I mean, this is the point of public radio. It's not always this is entertaining for me, for you and me, but it's, and I hope in a way this is challenging you a little bit, you know, in a little bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, I have a lot of faith in the folks that listen to you. I have a lot of faith in the folks that are always listening for something a little bit new. To get their heads around, and because everything that I've been selecting is really deeply rooted in the blues and jazz, it's pretty hard, I think, unless you're not into jazz, which is absolutely, you know, a viable position to occupy.
Which is fine. I would wonder why you're listening to this part of public radio,
right?
This corner. But if you, and speaking of jazz, I do have to shout, if you're invite you to stay tuned for The Real Deal with Seth Marco coming up in roughly about 21 minutes. Also, a big thank you and shout out to Sandy Sukiyama for holding down again the Brazilian experience before this. Also, my mentor, the one and only Ray Cruz with Latin Beat, highly advise checking that one out every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m.
That's good stuff. I mean, you have such a sweet bracket. Anyway, I mean, between Sandy.
I'm just super stoked to be a part of the whole Saturday Power Block. I'm on the same day as This American Life and The Moth and all that, you know, and all that good stuff. So it's like,
I'm invariably, I catch, you know, some bit of all three of those shows on Saturday evenings. It's, it's an honor
to be
here.
I'm beyond stoked to be a part of this radio station. It's a lot of fun, and more importantly, it's fun because of our listeners, and it's fun because we get to expose you to all of this, and that's what makes this job.
That's right.
Interesting.
I mean, I feel like I'm doing a public service.
Yeah.
You know, I support this radio station. You know, as a what do you call it? Sustaining member.
Sustaining member.
I am a sustaining member. You know, and this feels like a bonus. You know, to be able to put some energy back into the system. So, are we weirding you out with the track that's behind us right now? You're listening to. An electronic producer by the name of Time Blind, who I'm not sure what his tools are for making this track, but when I met him back in the mid-90s, he was using a very obscure piece of software called Super Collider to make his beats. But he's got lots of subtle politics going on, often uses vocal samples, and just operates in a really great space of bass and percussion. They try to categorize this as dubstep, but it's not.
No,
that's what the robots say. The robot
really?
Says this
no,
is
no,
dubstep,
no, no, no.
But it's not.
What do you want to play next?
Up next, I think we're gonna make a hard left turn to listen to some Duke Ellington in one of his more abstract moments. We're gonna listen to Money Jungle, which has Mingus on bass, Max Roach on drums, and Ellington himself getting as pretty close to hard bop as you're gonna hear.
Nice. Thank you. So we're listening to Duke Ellington's Money Jungle. Also, we want to remind you that support for Bridging the Gap comes from T-Rex Entertainment, presenting the Hawaii Polo 2016 season with matches and music every Sunday on the beach on the North Shore, including Jeff Peterson on July 24th. Details at HawaiiPolo.com. We are closing out with some...
Kamasi Washington.
Yeah, who was just here.
Yeah, he was amazing. He played Blue Note a few months ago. There's not a lot you have to say about this guy. Young, steeped in jazz, steeped in hip-hop, steeped in being black in L.A., and making some really amazing music.
Yeah.
Daylight.
I just wanted to step on this for a second to say thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Nick. It was an honor and a pleasure.
And, yeah, the set list is up on HawaiiPublicRadio.org. And you're tuned to KIPO Honolulu, KIPM Waikapu, KHPH Kailua Kona, KIPH Hana, KIPL Lihui, and KAHU Pahala with translator K264BL in Honolulu.
Still don't know what that means. But
I don't know what it means either, but I have to say it, and I'm just stoked that this radio station is growing and we get to play this kind of stuff. So thank you again for coming in.
Thank you again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for opening your ears and your hearts and your minds, folks.
And stay tuned for Seth Marco and take care.